Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us from the websites postandcourier.com and onthisday.com. Question number one. Which of the following about the month of November is or are true? Is it A, Armistice Day on November the 11th observes the end of World War I? Is it 2, November gets its name from the Latin word novem, which means nine? Is it C, topaz is the traditional birthstone of November? Or is it D, all of the above are true about this 11th month of the calendar year? Or is it E, none of the above are true about the month of November? And question number two, it was on this very day back in 1989 that Melissa Etheridge and Joe Cocker spontaneously entertained Germans who were celebrating what? Was it A, Germany's winning of the World Cup? Football, soccer. Was it B, the newly tumbled Berlin Wall? Was it C, Etheridge and Cocker's onstage marriage? Or was it D, Armistice Day? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November the 10th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1958 that Hank Ballard and the Midnighters recorded The Twist. It was Chubby Checker's 1960s cover version of the Ballard song, however, that gave rise to the Twist dance craze. The original Twist song, recorded today by Hank Ballard in 1958. And it was 54 years ago today, 1969, that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by Gene Autry received a gold record. The song had been released 20 years earlier. Rudolph's gold record, 1969, today. Pistol Annie's Hush Hush introduces our country and folk music news. It's a review of Alison Russell's new CD, The Returner. This review appears in The Week magazine the 6th of October, 2023, and it's given 4 out of a possible 4 stars. On her second album as a solo artist, Alison Russell revels in a sense of personal and creative freedom, said Will Groff in Holler. The veteran singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist garnered 3 Grammy nominations for 2021's Outside Child, a folk rock masterpiece that addressed her childhood abuse at the hands of her white stepfather. Her uplifting follow-up takes up the glorious present rather than the fraught past, vanquishing the demons of historical trauma and anti-blackness with intricate poetry and irresistible grooves. Across 10 tracks, the music shifts thrillingly, drawing from folk traditions one moment and funk and soul the next. The Returner is a joyfully communal effort, said Jewel Height in NPR.org. Russell's sinuous melodies and feathery vibrato are buoyed by the vigorous, jubilant voices of the Rainbow Coalition, her large band of female and gender nonconforming musicians. By the time the album's over, they've rendered everything from down-home blues to dramatically hunting disco string passages with an often effervescent and always freewheeling and sisterly chemistry. Composer and chemist Alexander Borodin was born on this very day back in 1833. He, along with fellow composers like Mussorgsky and Rimsky-Korsakov, made up a group who became known as the Five. Appropriately, a Rimsky-Korsakov composition introduces this classical musical article about Borodin, titled Alexander Borodin, A Life. I'm a composer in search of oblivion. I'm always slightly ashamed to admit I compose. So said one of the most brilliant Russian scientists of his generation, for whom composing was only a hobby. Welcome to the extraordinary world of genius melodist Alexander Borodin. This is published in ClassicFM.com. The place is Baghdad. The year, 1955. Howard Keel emerges stage right, legs akimbo, boldly intoning The Sands of Time at the end of one of the best-sung musicals in Hollywood history, Kismet. Under Andre Previn's direction, MGM Studio Orchestra and co-stars Anne Blythe, Dolores Gray, and Vic Damone held us spellbound with such unforgettable numbers as Strangers in Paradise, and This Is My Beloved, and Night of My Nights. Everyone's wondering who wrote all those haunting melodies. Kern? Porter? Rogers? Not a bit of it. When Kismet first went into production, its unwitting composer had been dead nearly 70 years. His name? Alexander Borodin. In a letter of 1877, the great Russian composer Tchaikovsky noted that Borodin possesses talent, a very great talent, which, however, has come to nothing for want of instruction, and because blind fate has led him into the science laboratories. And there you have it, in a nutshell. Borodin was indeed one of the most naturally gifted of all Russian composers, yet his principal vocation as a brilliant research chemist and lecturer meant that he spent too little time composing. Had things turned out differently, there's no telling what he might have achieved, but at least he left us a handful of masterpieces that provide tantalizing glimpses of an adorable musical personality. Borodin had a decidedly unconventional start in life. He was born the illegitimate son of one prince, Luka Spanovich Gendianov, an elderly nobleman who had enjoyed the intimate company of a beautiful, intelligent 24-year-old named Avdotya Antonova. The unplanned result was a baby boy, Alexander, who, as was common practice at that time to save any public embarrassment, entered into the registry under the name of one of Prince's serfs, Borodin. Alexander was brought up and tutored by his devoted mother and female friends and relations. In this warm, feminine atmosphere, the sensitive intellectual side of the boy's nature flourished unhindered. His teenage years were divided fairly equally between musical and scientific pursuits. He apparently loved to make fireworks. Although it was the latter that eventually gained the upper hand, after enrolling at the Medico-Surgical Academy in 1850, Borodin devoted the next 10 years of his life to chemical research, yet music was always hovering in the background. Borodin had already struck up a lasting friendship with the young firebrand composer Modest Mussorgsky, and then in 1861, he met and fell in love with a brilliant 29-year-old piano virtuoso who effectively turned his life around. The immediate result was a sublime and unaccountably neglected piano quintet, the first of Borodin's works to fully proclaim his genius. His next major work was the popular Second Symphony, which took an unbelievable 7 years for him to complete. Remarkably, with only a couple of major works behind him, word got out of Russia of his extraordinary talent, and no less a figure than Franz Liszt took the burgeoning composer under his wing, conducting his music whenever he had the opportunity. Riding on the crest of a wave of popular recognition, Borodin penned his sublime symphonic picture, In the Steppes of Central Asia, which takes his unique Oriental style to unprecedented levels of poetic sensitivity. He also managed to complete 2 masterly string quartets, the second of which has more non-stop inspired melodies than any other work in the genre, and was later to furnish several themes for Kismet. But time was running out. For years, Borodin had slaved away at his magnum opus, Prince Igor, an epic opera that includes the ever-popular Povlatsian dances. Sadly, he wouldn't live to complete it. There was also talk of a third symphony, but the composer's energies were ebbing away with each passing day, as he was now having to care for his terminally ill wife. On the evening of February 27, 1887, Borodin attended a party during which he was apparently in the highest of spirits, dancing and joking. Then, just after midnight, he collapsed from a massive coronary. It was all over in seconds. Just 5 months later, Ekaterina, bereft beyond consolation, also passed away. Borodin lies buried in the Alexander Nevsky Monastery in St. Petersburg, alongside some of his greatest admirers and friends, Mussorgsky, Tchaikovsky, and Rimsky-Korsakov. T-Bone Walker's Stormy Monday introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's a review of Leve's new CD titled Bewitched. The review is published in the Week magazine on the 6th of October 2023, and it's given 3 out of a possible 4 stars. Leve wants Gen Z to fall in love with jazz, says Maura Judkiss in the Washington Post. The Chinese Icelandic singer born Leve, Lynn Johnsdottir, grew up in Reykjavik and Washington, D.C., listening to Ella Fitzgerald and the Gershwins before attending Berklee College of Music. Now 24, she's built a large, enthusiastic audience of young fans who, having grown up with social media and dating apps, love her old-fashioned, stargazy notion of love. Her take on traditional vocal jazz borrows from classical, bossa nova, and pop music, but many of the 14 songs on her sophomore album sound as if they came straight out of a classic musical from the 1940s. Bewitched is bolder and more intentional than Leve's 2022 debut, Everything I Know About Love, said Alex Ramos in Pitchfork. Big Feelings, Eternal Hope, Unconditional Love takes center stage. And as she croons about modern romantic foibles, Leve doesn't simply let jazz inform the work. She uses it as a vehicle to enact fantasies and ambitions, lending her contemporary musings a misty, out-of-time quality. The Beatles, Now and Then, introduces our music research and technology and our rock and pop music news items. The Beatles' final song, Now and Then, was released thanks to AI technology. Software developed for Peter Jackson's documentary, Get Back, was used to separate Lennon's vocals from a demo tape he left to Paul McCartney. This is published in TheGuardian.com by Laura Snaps on the 26th of October, 2023. Now and Then, the long-awaited, quote-unquote, final Beatles song featuring all 4 members was released thanks to the same AI technology that was used to enhance the audio on Peter Jackson's documentary, Get Back. There it was, John's voice, crystal clear. Paul McCartney said in a statement, "It's quite emotional, and we all play on it. It's a genuine Beatles recording. In 2023, to still be working on Beatles music and about to release a new song the public haven't heard, I think it's an exciting thing." Now and Then was written and sung by John Lennon in the late 1970s at his home in the Dakota Building in New York City. In 1994, Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, gave the demo to Paul McCartney on a cassette labeled For Paul that also included Lennon's demos for Free as a Bird and Real Love. While the latter songs were completed by McCartney, Ringo Starr, and George Harrison and released as singles as part of the Beatles' anthology project, technological limitations meant that Lennon's vocals and piano on Now and Then couldn't be separated to work alongside new parts recorded by the other 3 Beatles, and it was shelved. More than a quarter of a century later, Jackson used AI-assisted software to demix the original audio from Michael Lindsay Hogg's 1970 footage of the Beatles recording their final album, Let It Be, to isolate the instruments, vocals, and conversation, and turn the audio and images into the Get Back documentary series. The technology inspired the surviving band members to revisit Lennon's Now and Then demo. Starr said in a statement, it was the closest we'll ever come to having him back in the room. So it was very emotional for all of us. It was like John was there, you know. It's far out. McCartney and Starr produced new parts for the song, which features guitar parts recorded by Harrison in 1995 and a string arrangement written by McCartney, Giles Martin, and Ben Foster, backing vocals from the original recordings of Here, There, and Everywhere, Eleanor Rigby, and Because have been woven into the new song. Jeff Lynne contributed additional production. In June, McCartney told BBC Radio 4 that AI had been used to extricate Lennon's voice from a cassette recording. We were able to take John's voice and get it pure through this AI, he said. Then we can mix the record as you would normally do. It gives you some sort of leeway. But to be clear, nothing has been artificially or synthetically created. It's all real, and we all play on it. We cleaned up some existing recordings, a process which has gone on for years. We hope you love it as much as we do. The iTunes review of this song adds, Paul McCartney and producer Giles Martin, son of Beatles producer George Martin, were able to assemble John's 1970s vocals with George's 1995 guitar lines and Paul and Ringo's brand new vocal and instrumental parts, as well as a string arrangement to complete the song. Bearing the signatures of all four Beatles, it's a doleful ballad and a poignant goodbye with lyrics, and if you go away, I'll know you're there, that resonate far beyond their initial intentions. One Guardian reader comments, I can now hear what the remaining Beatles were aiming for, that distinctive, happy, sad mix that is the core of so many of their classic songs, Help, Penny Lane, Nowhere Man, Long and Winding Road, and so on. Another Guardian reader concludes, the lyrics are so poignant and essentially require a song in a minor key, but that's not how I want to think of their story ending. However, its melancholy reflects how many fans saw the band's ending and feels like a bit of a memento mori to all of us. Patch up those relationships you care about before it's too late. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following about the month of November is or are true? Was it A, Armistice Day on November 11th observes the end of World War I? Was it B, November gets its name from the Latin word novem, which means nine? Was it C, topaz is the traditional birthstone of November? Was it D, all of the above are true about this 11th month of the calendar year? Or is it E, none of the above are true about the month of November? Correct answer. Answer D, all of the above are true facts about the month of November. Armistice Day recognizes the signing of the armistice that ended hostilities on the Western Front on November the 11th, 1918, between Germany and the Allies, effectively ending World War I. That day also became known as Remembrance Day, and in the U.S., November 11th is now recognized as Veterans Day. November got its name from the Latin word noven, which means nine. November was the ninth month on the early Roman calendar. However, when the Gregorian calendar was adopted and the Julian calendar was abandoned, November kept its name, if not its spot, in the monthly pecking order. Hence, November is still known as November, even though it's now the 11th month of the year and not the ninth. Finally, topaz is the traditional birthstone of November. According to the Farmer's Almanac, the ancient Greeks believed topaz could make anyone who wore it invisible. Though that idea no longer holds water, topaz remains a symbol of honor and strength. By the way, none of those early Greek believers are visible today. Huh, so there. And the answer to question two, it was on this very day, back in 1989, that Melissa Etheridge and Joe Cocker spontaneously entertained Germans who were already celebrating what? Was it A, Germany's winning of the World Cup, football, soccer? Was it B, the newly tumbled Berlin Wall? Was it C, Etheridge and Cocker's onstage marriage? Or was it D, Armistice Day? Correct answer is B. The Germans were already celebrating the dismantling of the Berlin Wall. As noted in the Orlando Sentinel on November 13, 1989, thousands of Germans rubbed shoulders at a free rock concert that brought together the youth of both East and West, international pop stars like Britain's Joe Cocker and the United States' Melissa Etheridge joined German bands in a concert at the German Wall in West Berlin. "For us, this is a dream," said Greta, an East Berliner. "We never get this on the other side. Pop and rock music have long been condemned in East Germany as decadent, and Western records, therefore, sell for high black market prices." So let's close out today's program with Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.